everybody. How are you? This is Chris. This is episode 97 of the Libertarian Republican Podcast. Welcome back. Thank you again for joining me on this rainy, gloomy, a Tuesday? I think it's Tuesday sometime in it's August 30th, I think it is. This episode is an important one, I think, because and I'm going to try not to screw it up, and I know I'm going to be disappointed with it. Hopefully you won't. I've got a million things in my head. Basically, what I want to talk about is, the more I study, the more I read about and listen to podcasts about the Soviet Union and the transformation of Russia into the Soviet Union, I find it, first of all, I'm just absolutely fascinated by that process, by the late 1800s, early 1900s, the revolutions, the revolutionary movement, the Marxists, and the different movements, and the anarchists, and how, look, if you think about it, it's amazing that hundreds of millions of people were, or at least, over 100 million people in Russia, in the Soviet Union, were, the current population of Russia today was about 140 million. Now, back then, 100 years ago, you include all of the USSR, it was even bigger than that. So this is a lot of people who were essentially living under this horribly oppressive regime. And you have to ask this question, how did that happen? All these people, all the people who got murdered, who got imprisoned in the gulags, the Gulag Archipelago, the people who were, working in the labor camps, the people who were starved to death on purpose, the people who starved to death by accident, the people who, all of the human suffering that came about during the years of the Soviet Union. And you're talking about a 70-year period there, from about 1923 to 1991. So, 68 years. So you're talking about all of the human suffering, all of the innovations, all of the repression, everything that could have been, all of the happiness that was suppressed, that never materialized, all of the inventions, all of the innovation, all of the human prosperity and the human spirit, the advance of human civilization that was stifled for 70 years during that time in the Soviet Union, that was real. That really happened. And if we like to think of ourselves as intellectuals, we need to ask why, how did it happen? Why did it happen? And how could we have prevented it? And did anybody see it coming? And it's really shocking when you read about the horrors of the Soviet Union. But I think you need to, and so in that sense, we need to look at America as, we need to think of America, we need to take a step back or take a step up and picture ourselves a thousand miles in the sky, looking down on America, looking down on the earth, maybe even from 100 years from now or 1,000 years from now, and think about what's going on in the context of history. And I really think that the United States of America is on a similar path to the Soviet Union. We're becoming very similar to the Soviet Union, and it's terrifying. And this, we need to see what's, and all, everybody, Democrats and Republicans and independents and libertarians, all, everybody, we need to see what's really going on here. And or else we're going to find ourselves in living in the Soviet Union, and we might be enslaved in a country like the Soviet Union for 100 years. Our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, And we're going to see this, and it might be more than America. It might be all of Europe. It might be the whole world at this point. With what this sort of globalist, communist, totalitarian regime that is sort of this supranational, worldwide totalitarianism that we're seeing. It's terrifying what these people are capable of because of the technology of today. And so I think we need to sort of take a step back and look at America and think of, in my opinion, we've got three big factions that are vying for power sort of right now in America. And the number one is the Washington government, the Washington establishment, the status quo, the people who like the Washington government, the people who benefit from the current system, the people who don't want anything to change. They love it. The government employees, all these bureaucrats, they're making a fortune. They've got nice houses and nice cars, and they're living it up. And the politicians who go to, they've been in Washington for 40 years, and they're in great shape. They're the top. They're, like I always say, they're a ruling class. You know, the crony capitalists, the big businesses that are doing very well, thank you, because government does all of the government regulations. I've talked about this before, about how government regulations crush the little guy and give market advantage to the big corporations. And we saw this clear example was COVID, where all the small businesses were shut down, but all the big businesses were allowed to continue being open. And you start to wonder, well, you know, was that by design? Was that on purpose? And, you know, is that the people in Washington? Is that the people at the top sort of? And it was a state level. These were state level policies as well. And then so you got to, is this the state level, even at the state level, do we have politicians who don't really care about the little guy? They don't care about small businesses. They care about the big businesses. And so because the big businesses are part of their ruling class, they're their buddies, the cronies. And so I think that you've got and I think that when you look at the Russian revolutions and remember Russia became the Soviet Union, and it was like a 75-year process. If you look at the publication of the Communist Manifesto in 1848, you could just, it started before that, of course. It started in the French Revolution, right? Because these revolutionaries, the Marxist revolutionaries, Marx himself, they studied, and Lenin, they studied the French Revolution. You know, the French Revolution was kind of chaotic, and they didn't really know what they were doing, and it didn't really work out very well, and it went, and you know, it descended into the Reign of Terror, and then we saw the rise of Napoleon, but the Russian revolutionaries and the Marxists, it was a European-wide movement. I mean, remember, I mean, Marx was a German, right? So Marx and Engels were Germans, I know Marx was, but so these were, you know, this was a process that went to 1923, basically, when the Soviet Union was finally really formed, and the end of the revolution. And that was the beginning of the Soviet Union. So this was a long time. Remember, there were a lot of factions. I've mentioned Mikhail Bakunin, and you had the Marxists, and you had the cadets, the revolutionaries, the liberals, so you had different factions, and you had different it was kind of a ongoing revolution. Remember, in 1881, the People's Will movement blew up the Tsar. They finally they decided early on that they needed to kill the Tsar, and that was their goal for a long time. We've got to kill the Tsar. We've got to destroy the Tsar and destroy the Tsarist system. And They did. They blew up the Tsar in 1881 in Tsar Alexander II. And they thought, oh, we finally killed the Tsar, and then now we can have our revolution. But of course, the Tsar's son, Alexander III, basically became he cracked down and really crushed the people's will movement. And so there was a setback there. But then you had the 1905 revolution in Russia, then of course the 1917 revolution where the Bolsheviks finally took charge. So it was a long period. So you got to remember, these people think long term. This, you know, the revolution is a long term process. And so what we got to think about, you know, this first faction of is Washington and the people who support, and I'm talking about the Republicans who don't like Donald Trump, the non-MAGA Republicans who look at Washington as a stat, they like the status quo. It's kind of like the Tsarist regime in Russia, right? It's I'm a patriot and I believe in the Tsar because that's what patriots do. We believe in the Tsar. And, I love my country. I'm a patriot and therefore I must support the Tsar. And you have the same thing here in America. You got, I'm a patriot. I love my country and therefore I must support the FBI. It's like, well, wait a minute. No, that does not necessarily logically follow, But you've got these people who don't want to stir the pot. They like things the way they are. They think that the federal government isn't so bad, and these are people who generally are doing well. They're generally wealthy. People like Liz Cheney. She's rich. What is Dick Cheney? He's rich. What does he care? He doesn't care if the average American's savings are being whittled away by inflation, and he doesn't care. He's got tons of money. What does he care? What are these rich? And it's the same thing with Democrats. The rich Democrats, they don't care about inflation, or they don't care if your jobs are being shipped overseas. They're IT specialists or college professors. They don't care if all of our manufacturing is shipped overseas, or they don't care, and they don't care if 5 million illegal immigrants are coming in and begging on street corners. Well, they can just throw them a $10 bill every once in a while. No big deal for them, So these rich people don't. So I think that's the first faction is the Washington establishment. These people who like the status quo, who believe that Washington gives, has this sense of legitimacy and, gravitas, I guess you could say, and they're very loyal to the Washington establishment. Okay, but the second group, the second faction that's vying for power is the communist revolutionaries. And they're the Democrats, the hardcore Democrats, not the average Democrat voter. The average Democrat voter is in that first faction who thinks that, oh yeah, the big government is good. Government is good. Government can do lots of good things for us. We just have to give the government more power, actually. And we should give the government more power over our elections and over our healthcare and education, all that kind of stuff. But then you've got the Marxist revolutionaries, and they are slowly taking over the Washington establishment. Barack Obama put hardcore Marxist revolutionaries all over the federal government. And so that's why you have this alliance between the Marxist revolutionaries and the establishment in Washington. And I think that there is a tension there too, because I think you had, for example, in 2020 with the George Floyd riots, I think there was a real, I think that's part of the Washington, the drive to get rid of Trump in 2020 was largely a kind of appeasement. The people in Washington, and this is almost kind of like a Thomas Paine versus Burke, Edmund Burke kind of thing. One wants radical revolution and one wants gradual change. And I think you've got a lot of people in Washington who like the gradual change of America gradually, slowly becoming the Soviet Union. They like that. They think that's great because it gives them more power, gives them more money, gives them more prestige, more status. And it satisfies their belief in central planning. They believe they should be in charge. They believe they're smart. They're the smartest people in the world. They should run the world, and the peasants should just shut the hell up. And remember, the Marxists, they didn't like the peasants. The Marxists, you know, Marx was very, the Marxists believed that in Russia, they believed that the revolutionaries were the urban workers, the more sophisticated urban factory workers, and they didn't like the farmers and the peasants in the countryside. Oh, they thought they were too stupid. And that was one of the big splits between Marx and Bakunin. Bakunin was the anarchist who believed that no, the peasants can be part of the revolution too. But also remember that the Marxists believed in the teachers, because the teachers had a really kind of a special role, because the teachers weren't really the proletariat. They weren't really bourgeois. They weren't laborers. They weren't peasants. They were kind of in the middle, and they were the perfect people to proselytize, to preach the gospel of revolution. And that's exactly what you see in America today. You see the teachers are the preachers of revolution. They've done a very good job of populating the schools with Marxist revolutionaries. So you've got these, and so what I was going, but before I was talking about getting rid of Trump in 2020, I think that go back to the revolution, 1917, the Bolshevik Revolution. The government, the Tsarist government, deposed. Well, they basically forced Tsar Nicholas II to abdicate his throne, because that was a kind of appeasement to the revolution that was going on. Of course, did it work? No, of course not. They murdered. They ended up murdering the Tsar anyway. And the Tsar Nicholas abdicated his throne and gave all his power to his, I think it was his brother Michael, the Grand Duke Michael. And Michael said, no, I'm not going to accept all that power unless the people vote for it. Because he was trying to appease the revolution too. Well, did it work? Did it help him out? No, they murdered him. They ended up the Bolsheviks ended up murdering him anyway. And then the Bolsheviks murdered Tsar Nicholas. So it never helps to, you can't appease communists, Marxists. They will murder you. You cannot appease them. All you can do, that's all you can do. You cannot appease them in any way. So that brings us to the third faction in America, which is the MAGA movement. The MAGA Republican movement, the Liberty movement, the people who believe in freedom, the people who believe that America should be a country, should go back to its constitutional roots of a limited government, of federalism, which is the opposite of what you think it sounds like. Federalism is a system where you have a very small, weak federal government, and then you've got most of the power is in the states and the localities and the cities. So it's power to the people, like I always say, power to the people, not power to the central government. Whereas the Marxist revolutionaries believe in power to the central government. Now, and we can go back about, like, well, what did Marx really want, a powerful central government? Well, technically, he wanted to eventually get rid of the central government. But of course, first, before you do that, you have to have the dictatorship of the proletariat, which would have all the power, and then you can gradually get rid of the government. And that was another big split between Marx and Bakunin, because Bakunin thought that was a terrible idea, because once you give all these people that much power, they're never going to give it up, right? So this is what I'm talking about here. This is, you know, Victor Davis Hanson talked about this, how America is in a revolutionary period right now. And he's right. We are in the midst of a communist revolution, and it is slowly, gradually taking over our federal government and gradually turning it into this omnipotent central planning body that will control everything. And it's in conjunction with an international movement, the UN, the World Health Organization, the World Economic Forum, the International Monetary Fund. I talked about the Great Reset. And so this is a global movement. That's why we call it these people globalists, as opposed to, and I did an episode, the nationalists versus the globalists. But so basically my point here is that the MAGA movement is, we need to be equally revolutionary. We need to realize that we are in the middle of a revolution here. America is indeed in a revolutionary period. And we need to turn it into a liberty revolution, a revolution for freedom, a revolution against big powerful government. That's what the MAGA movement is to me. And I think that's what we need to, that's the mentality. We need to adopt a more revolutionary mentality, and we need to adopt a much more long-term mentality, because like I've said before, you know, Republicans and libertarians, generally we just want to be left alone and we want to go do our thing. We have families and hobbies and jobs, and we don't want to get involved in politics. But the Democrats, the communists, well, their whole life is politics. Their whole life is getting power over you and restructuring society, because they've got such great plans about how they're gonna save the world and save humanity. And you have to get involved. You have to realize that that's who you're up against. You're up against hardcore Marxist revolutionaries. And if you, you know, and this is what I'm saying about people like Liz Cheney, you know, who, or Mitt Romney or Larry Hogan in Maryland. You know, these people think that, oh, you know, I'm just gonna, I like the current, that's too radical, too, you know, the MAGA movement's too radical, too revolutionary for me. No, I like the status quo. I like Washington. I like the way it is. But you gotta understand that it's slowly being taken over by the communist revolutionaries, and it is slowly being turned into the bureaucracy of the Soviet Union. And if we don't, so you have to get off the fence. You know, people like Larry Hogan need to get in the fight. This is a revolution. This is two revolutions. You know, this is the communist revolution, and we need to recognize it. That's the communist revolution, and we need to have an equal, you know, equal, forces equal and opposite of each other. We've got to have an equally powerful revolution, a more powerful force for revolutionary liberty, in order to fight back against this Marxist revolution that the Democrats are waging. And you know, like I said about the average Democrat doesn't really get it. They don't really get what's going on here. They don't really get that their party is the Marxist Revolutionary Party. And, you know, they get distracted by these stupid little side issues like abortion, which I still think is a stupid little side issue. It has almost no impact on your life compared to the impact of the gigantic government regulatory bureaucracy that, and the surveillance state, the police state that the Democrats are erecting. And, you know, just like Steve Bannon said a couple days ago about how this, we may get to a point where we can't turn this thing around, where there is no turning back. There is no going, you know, and that's terrifying to me to think of. So that's it. That's what I think about what's going on here in America. We've got these three factions. We've got the Washington establishment and all the Republicans and the Democrats who think it's great and think it's fine and it's no big deal, and you know, they don't, they're a lot of Democrats aren't Marxist revolutionaries, but they don't understand that their party, just about every person that they vote for, every Democrat candidate that they're voting for, is a Marxist revolutionary, almost literally. And they need to understand that, and they need to realize that those two factions, the Marxist revolutionaries and the Washington establishment, are working hand in hand to fight back against this rising MAGA movement, this movement of liberty, this other counter-revolution, you could call it, that wants power to the people, that wants a government that is smaller and less powerful, that leaves more power to the people, that doesn't make all these decisions for the average person, that believes in the average person, that takes power away from Washington and gives it back to the people. That's what's going on here. So if you are on the fence, if you are, you know, okay, and you don't have to love Trump to realize what those two factions are doing. Okay, you can hate Trump. Okay, fine, hate Trump. Go ahead. Hey, if he annoys the hell out of you, fine. But you still have to realize what's going on here. If you believe in freedom, then you have to understand that the Washington establishment and the Marxist revolutionaries are 100% against you. They are working together to erect a totalitarian dystopia in America. And the only force that can stop them is MAGA, the MAGA Republicans. And that's why, you know, the media and Joe Biden and all the Democrats are coming down so hard on MAGA. And that's why the FBI kicked down Donald Trump's door. And that's why they're waging a war against MAGA. That's why they're imprisoning and practically torturing the January 6th defendants, you know, all this stuff. So they're kicking people off. They just shut Truth Social down off of the Google App Store. So, you know, it's a constant war it's a revolution. And if you think you can sit back and be in the middle, you can't. You cannot be in the middle here. You've got to get in the fight, which means you have to join MAGA. You've got to and if there are things about MAGA you don't like, well, get involved and try to steer MAGA into a direction that you prefer. But you've got to realize that MAGA is the only path right now. MAGA is the only path out of this communist Marxist revolution that we're seeing. So, all right, that's it. That's episode 97. So if you like this podcast, give me some good ratings, and I will, hopefully it'll stop raining at some point, and I will see you on the next one. All right, bye-bye.